Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking all about recycling. We'll talk about some of the myths, some common mistakes, and we'll give you the latest recycling news as well with our guest, Melissa Johnson. She is president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin. The short for that is ARRO. She also is director of Marathon County's Solid Waste Department. So what do you want to know about how to recycle correctly? Do you have questions about recycling as a whole? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And Melissa Johnson, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry, for inviting me. It's always a good day when I get to talk waste reduction and recycling with Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about the rules. Are recycling rules different pretty much all over the state? Are they common? What's the situation?
Well, and that's really a wonderful question. I'm glad you're starting with that. So let's start with, what is the basis of our recycling program in Wisconsin? And the basis for it is landfill bans. So statute says that we have to keep X number of things out of the landfill. And those things are plastics 1 and 2, tin cans, aluminum beverage containers, newspapers, cardboard, office paper, glass bottles, and I think I may be missing some. But anyway, that served as the basis for Wisconsin's recycling program. And we have done those basic things across the state successfully for nearly 30 years. However, what has happened is there are other things that kind of end up with a recycling symbol on them, or people think they're recyclable, or they may have some recyclability. And those are things like that plastic 3 through 7. And it could be things like, you know, the old pizza box. Where is that acceptable? Those vary from location to location across the state. So we have some very basic stuff. And then we have these other things that kind of fall into those categories, but not. And that's why it's so important to connect with your local recycling program.
Yeah, I know Madison has, offers quite a bit more options than the sort of the basic ones, and others are probably just the basic.
Yeah, well, again, so we should probably help your audience understand too, and many people do understand this. When it goes in the recycling bin, that's only part of the journey. It has to be marketable. It has to have some value in a production somewhere else, right? So we know that plastic soda bottles can become carpeting in our home or a wonderfully warm fleece blanket, which would be very helpful on a morning like this. So we know that can become something. We have to be able to have those markets, and if a local recycling program doesn't have an outlet, or if that outlet is so far away it becomes economically infeasible, that's what creates the range of availability at local programs.
Yeah. There's something called wish cycling, and I think I know what it is because I may have been guilty of it myself.
But that's right.
Talk about the concept of wish cycling.
So this best exemplifies wish cycling for me, and this is something that happened to me years ago when I was kind of first in the industry. And a woman called our toll-free number, and she said, I want you to find something to do with these styrofoam egg cartons. They have to be recycled. And I said, well, ma'am, it's very hard to – this doesn't necessarily have a market. We don't have a way to sort it at our recycling facility. It would just sit somewhere and probably end up in a landfill. And she goes, well, I want it to be recycled. And, you know, she's wishing it to happen. And I finally said, ma'am, I said, why didn't you buy your eggs in a paper carton, which has some recyclability? She goes, well, it was cheaper to buy it in the styrofoam carton. And so by the end of the conversation, she could see that her choices clearly had an impact on our ability to do our job. So wish cycling is that I want it to be recyclable. It looks like it should be, but it may not be. and it actually has that can harm some of our recycling programs, because if we're wishing it to be recycled and we throw it in the bin and it ends up at a material recovery facility where it is actually not able to be recycled, it lowers the profit margin or the ability of that MRF to be able to operate effectively.
Well, as for the egg cartons, I've got a friend who has chickens. I hang on to all my egg cartons, with whether they be plastic or otherwise, and give them to her.
It's a great reuse. Perfect.
I got a reuse there. Ken from De Pere wonders how to recycle one-time use propane bottles that, you know, you get for camping. Is it safe to put it in recycles, or should it go in the garbage?
That is such a hard one. It is probably best to call your local household hazardous waste program to see if they'll accept it, or to call a local salvage yard to see if they'll accept it. We certainly don't want it in the recycling, and we don't want it in the garbage. We've had another story from my garbage past is an explosion of one of those bottles as it was run over by a very large piece of equipment, which we use to operate in solid waste. There was enough gas left in it, so enough compression left in it, so that when the large piece of equipment punctured it, there was a small pop and explosion. So we don't want them in the recycling. We don't want them in the garbage. You may be able to take them to scrap metal recyclers. You may be able to take them to your local household hazardous waste programs. We would love to have a conversation with retailers and manufacturers to figure out how we can bring these back through the system so that they don't end up discarded where they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Katie in Burlington has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Katie. Thank you for calling.
I have two questions. One is that I try to recycle pretty much everything, and I know at the grocery stores they have these bins that you can put plastic bags in them, and I never know, well, does that also include like bread bags or cellophane? Do you know about that? And then the other question is that why do they have anything above a 2? For plastic containers. So, like, for example, if you want to buy cottage cheese or yogurt, it's always in like a 5 or a 6, if I'm remembering right. So why do they allow that?
All right. Good questions, Katie.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Katie. Let's talk about the bags. So those drop-offs at many of the retailers, whether that's Target or your local grocery store, Walmart, many across the state of Wisconsin, actually across the United States, many of those stores are working with a national organization to try and collect plastic film. And she's absolutely correct. Your grocery store bags that you are not using can go in there, but also your bread wrappers and that wrapper that goes around, you know, your 9 rolls of toilet paper that you buy. Pretty much any type of plastic film can go into those unless they're contaminated with food. So the plastic wrapper around that frozen broccoli that you buy, that would not be able to go in there. So almost any other type of plastic film, bundle it up, take it to the stores, and it'll actually go out and be recycled. Again, working on a national program, and it's wonderful we can get the plastic industry to partner with us on that. The other question, so each type of plastic, whether it's number 1, number 2, number 3, whatever, each plastic is designed for certain characteristics. And those characteristics are specific for how you're going to package and carry your product and protect it. So that's why number 1 plastic, your polyethylene terephthalate, is very good at our soda bottles and our water bottles. And then we need something a little bit different, a little bit more flexible, your number two plastic for your detergent bottles and your milk bottles. That is a different type of plastic. Now you've got your cottage cheese and your yogurt containers, and we need a little more rigidity there. And that's why it's a chemical soup, basically. So when we see those numbers, the numbers are telling us what is in it for the most part. It's not telling you the whole story. So each one of those numbers is designed a certain way so that it can give the characteristics you want. Number four plastic is low-density polyethylene. It's a film, and it's blown, and that's what's used to create that wrapper around your toilet paper rolls or whatever. So the code really is about what its base chemical compound is, and it's really designed to suit the manufacturing need, the transportation need, and the long-term storage needs of the products inside.
Very interesting. Katie, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Let's turn to Jeff in Elkhorn next. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. My name is Jeff. I just recently completed a job in Milwaukee where I have replaced a bunch of vertical blinds, about 500 of them, in a building. It is now our responsibility to dispose of the vertical blinds in which PVC slats are hanging below them. I'd hate to just take them to the garbage dump and get rid of them. What are your suggestions in regard to this?
Vertical blinds.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I can think of would be to call the Dane County Department of Waste and Renewables. They have a construction and demolition recycling facility at its location on Highway 12, I believe, just to the east of Madison. And at that facility, they do take in vinyl siding, and so the PVC that is vinyl siding may be very similar to the PVC in those vertical blinds, and they might just be able to bring them in and have them recycled. So that's who I would reach out to, is the Dane County Department of Waste and Renewables, and ask them about their construction and demolition recycling program.
Yeah, good suggestion. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Tom in Wanakee, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Say, I'm wondering about recycling styrofoam, not only like the egg cartons or the little flats you get with meat products, but the big styrofoam you get when you buy it, when electronics or even some of the food comes to you, it's really large pieces of styrofoam. And in Wanakee, we have a manufacturing plant that unique that used to take it and recycle it, and they use it in their manufacturing of things. But they had to quit taking it, and there's some place in Madison that does it, but are there other places or some way to get rid of it? Because after a while, I have a large plastic bag full of it and no place to go yet.
Yeah.
Good question, Tom, and polystyrene seems to be one thing that people get annoyed with because it appears like it's everywhere. Now, Tom just told us he had a bag full. But in my world, so the world of garbage and recycling, we think in tons. We don't think in just small packages. In order to make something economically feasible, in order to send it off to a market that could be 1,000 miles away, you want to fill up a semi. And that's many times why recycling facilities do not accept polystyrene, whether it's the expanded polystyrene or the peanuts or whichever. There are a few places, as Tom had mentioned, that will take it in and either reuse it or add it in as part of their manufacture. The only other place that I know of in Wisconsin is Styrene Products in Weston, Wisconsin, which is just east of Wausau. They do have a drop-off, but they also have limited capacity and from time to time have to cut off the drop-off. So as far as I know, those few outlets that may be in the Madison area, and if folks know of anything else, I'd love to know. But Styrene Products in Weston, Wisconsin does have a drop-off, and you also have to check with them on the availability of the service.
There you go, Tom. Thank you so much for calling. Melissa Johnson, our guest today, president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin. She directs Marathon County Solid Waste Department as well. I'm Larry Mueller. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at how to be a better recycler today with our guest, Melissa Johnson, president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin. Great to have her along. Certainly, if you have questions about recycling, I hope you'll join in today. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Keith in Forest County has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Keith.
Good morning, and thank you for the fine program. I've got a question about plastic bottles. I happen to be looking at a Coca-Cola bottle right now, but it's an example of lots of them. The bottle itself has got the Recycle logo on it, and I know it's recyclable. But the plastic cap does not have that logo, nor does the shrink wrap label that says Coca-Cola. Are all of those things recyclable? Should I be removing the cap? Should I be removing the shrink wrap label? How should I be handling those products?
What do you think, Melissa?
Oh, this is a fairly easy one for Keith, and we want you to be able to recycle and do it without a whole lot of thought. We don't want to make it complicated. You may leave that plastic wrapper on, and you may leave the cap on. The plastic, that bottle, once it's picked up at your house, it's going to go to a material recovery facility, get sorted, and share a bale with, 100,000 other plastic bottles and go off to a chipping facility where they will be able to sort out the different kinds of plastic. So that number one plastic, the one most desirable, will actually be captured. And the other plastics may be used in a different way. So leave the cap on, leave the plastic wrapper on, it's all okay. We want to make this as easy as possible so we don't have people fretting about standing in their garages, trying to determine what to do. So,
yeah, there we go. Thank you, Keith. One listener emailed wondering if garbage and or recycling from the U.S. is shipped to places like India or China or elsewhere.
That is an awesome question. And up until September 1st, 2017, the answer was yes. In the late 2000s, so 2008 through about 2011, one of the primary export products from the United States to China in Southeast Asia, the subcontinent, was post-consumer material, so garbage. And one of the largest items was plastic and paper, or were plastic and paper. Along with all of those big bales of, 2,000 pounds worth of paper or 2,000 pounds worth of plastic, unfortunately, there was a large amount of garbage that we sent with them. We didn't have really good quality control here in the United States. We assumed that the Chinese or the Indians or the Vietnamese or the Singaporeans were going to be able to sort out all of the garbage from the good material. And then on September 1st, 2017, the Chinese government told the World Trade Organization that they were no longer going to accept materials from other parts of the world because of the high amount of garbage. So that put us all in this industry in quite a tailspin trying to figure out what to do. And now what we're looking at is trying to work more nationally, regionally, to develop markets so we don't have to ship halfway across the world because, of course, that takes a lot of resources as well. But it was a bit of a disruption, and we're still trying to recover from that. But if we're going to have recycling, which we think about it in sustainable terms, right, we should think about sustainable ways to have it processed. So shipping it across the world, where half of it was being landfilled anyway, probably wasn't the most sustainable way to do things.
Yeah. It also brings to mind the question about cleaning. Should we be really rinsing our materials out before we put them in the bin for getting rid of?
The rule of thumb, and I get this rule of thumb from my colleague Amanda Halfley. She's the Portage County Solid Waste Director, and she's on the executive board of Arrow. is the spatula test. So run your spatula through that mayonnaise jar, or peanut butter jar, or tomato paste container, whatever it is. Clean it to the best of your ability. It does. I had one lady, I was at a presentation at a senior living facility, and the lady was washing every single one of her containers before she put it in the recycling. You do not have to do that. So run the spatula through that peanut butter jar. Run the spatula through it. If you want to rinse it slightly, that's fine. But that's kind of the rule of thumb.
Makes sense. Let's go to Gary in Ween, Wisconsin. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Larry. Enjoying the show, as always.
Thank you.
Back in the early 70s, when I was in college, I took a class on politics and the environment at UW Point. And one of the things that I argued for then was that when a product is produced, it should have built in the price the cost of either recycling it or disposing of it properly if it's not being able to recycle. And then that would bring money into two areas to deal with all the waste that we're accumulating. And I was just wondering what your guest would think of that.
All right. Thanks, Gary. What do you think, Melissa?
Great, great topic. And Gary, I live in Stevens Point, so I'm not far from UWSP, so we always love to hear from a pointer. So what Gary is referring to is a model called product stewardship or extended producer responsibility. And I absolutely agree with him that as we produce and manufacture things, we should be thinking about the end-of-life care. And Wisconsin's e-cycling law does just that. That is a product stewardship model where the producers of our electronic devices actually are part of the solution in managing those devices at their end-of-life care. In the European Union, in many of the original European Union countries, they have what's called the Green Dot Program. And that program says, manufacturer, you figure out a way, if you're going to produce a lot of things with a lot of extra packaging or a lot of toxicity, you need to figure out how to capture it so that it isn't a burden on society. Because ultimately, you know, when we talk about waste and recycling, the biggest payers of that are consumers, and are not consumers, are municipalities, because they, on behalf of you and me and my neighbors and your neighbors, Larry, they arrange for the services for picking up waste and picking up recycling. The manufacturer of those products is nowhere to be found. So this burden falls back onto taxpayers frequently. It falls back onto municipalities. It would be great to have manufacturers at the table with us trying to figure out how to solve the problem and not make such a burden on all of society.
But how do you do that? How do you bring them to the table? They probably don't want to come to the table.
Well, some do, and recently Arrow has a subcommittee called Product Stewardship. And the members of that group have been having conversations with the architectural paint industry, so folks like Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore through the American Coatings Association. And they're very interested in trying to figure out a national model, and they've been going state by state. And we've had some conversations with legislators, and there's some interest where when you would buy a quart of paint, you have an extra 50 cents that you would be charged, and that money then goes into a fund. And that fund then goes with all the other money that's coming in from the sale of paint, and it helps municipalities and collection sites pay for the management, whether it's disposal or recycling of old paint. We're going to continue to work on that. We would love to see this as a model in Wisconsin and hope to continue that conversation with the legislature once they reconvene after elections.
All right, there we go. Gary, thank you again for calling. Larry in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I had a question about waste oils from lawnmowers and tractors and stuff. there seems to be no place that would really take it. They say you can go there, but you go there and they're closed. They won't accept it. So I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would think, and he said he was from Madison, correct, Larry?
Right, yes.
Okay. So if the city of Madison may have some drop-off locations for that waste oil, you can also try Dane County's Department of Waste and Renewables. I know that they have a drop-off out there, a large container for the collection of that waste oil. Those are two resources locally that I'm aware of. You can try and call Brian Johnson with the city of Madison. He's in charge of the city's waste and recycling collection program. And or give the folks, John or Roxanne, a call out at Department of Waste and Renewables for Dane County.
All right. There you go, Larry. Thank you. Mary in Pewaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Larry and guest. Thank you for the show. And I don't know if you touched on the fact that there are, you know, the metal covers for a glass jar, if that's covered because it's not listed as a recyclable. And then I was going to say about the styrofoam, which I really do appreciate, that that when I go to a store, a restaurant, some of the more economical restaurants or, you know, bar-type places will give you styrofoam. I usually keep a container in my car and allow them to put the left or put it in myself, you know, into my own container. A lot of places are not accepting them touching your container, such as I have a one grocery store that has, like, a cardboard box sort of a bag that you can put your groceries in, and they make you, you know, load it up, which is fine. You know, just a couple of steps for humans to do to help save the earth, I guess. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mary. Comment, Melissa.
Well, absolutely. First, Mary, thank you for doing the right thing, because a lot of times when we could still go to restaurants and eat out and feel comfortable, I would get to the portion where they said, would you like a box? And I went, oh, I forgot my reusable container at home. So Mary's smart. She keeps one in the car. Nice job. I have a friend here in Point. His name is Trevor, and he goes nowhere without his reusable container for leftovers. So that's a wonderful way to reduce the amount of polystyrene you might be getting at restaurants. To the question on the glass cover, the metal covers on glass jars, leave those on, because what will happen is those glass containers end up, you know, getting tipped on a concrete floor. They go through more crushing. When that metal cap is on it at one point, then a magnet's going to grab that off of there, and that will actually go off to a smelter or a foundry. The glass will go off to a smelter, and the metal cap will end up going off to a foundry.
All right, there we go. Al in Green Bay, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Al.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I saw a television piece that said some of the small breweries in the state of Wisconsin are having trouble getting enough aluminum cans. On the other hand, when I take my aluminum cans in, I'm getting record low numbers. I'm getting like 32 cents a pound. I used to get 50-something. Those two facts don't make sense to me, one against the other. Can you comment on that?
All right.
Al has stumped me. I don't know what the disconnect is there. There could be manufacturing delays because of COVID, transportation delays. There could be a lot of things on the back end of the production of aluminum cans. That's a good question. I do not have an answer for. But if you've got these small breweries, one way you can kind of some places will allow a refillable crawler to be filled at their microbreweries. That'd be one way to take in your reusable and avoid the aluminum can. Good one, Al.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer on that one.
Okay. Well, William from Frederick, Wisconsin, says the biggest issue he sees is little or no recycling at community events and public properties. Mostly you just see trash cans taking everything that's thrown away and trucked off to a landfill. He says it should be a requirement that a recycling bin be next to every trash can.
William is absolutely correct, and William will tell you there is a requirement. It's called Wisconsin's recycling law. So the questions are, who recycles in Wisconsin? Everyone. Where do we recycle in Wisconsin? Everywhere. So just because you're away from home doesn't mean you stop recycling. So at the events that William is at, unfortunately, that message didn't kind of filter down to the event planners. In many parts of our state, in Marathon County, we have a program, and we actually have recycling bins that we loan out to event planners so that they can have recycling available for their events. Of course, now we're not having events because of COVID, but in the past, our bins have been at the Big Bull Falls Blues Festival in Wausau. They've been at Wisconsin Valley Fair. And a number of other communities throughout the state have similar programs. But again, that message hasn't filtered down. So I would say to William and any of your listeners who go to events and don't see recycling, ask why. Ask the event planners, can we please have recycling here? It is important. It's the law. And have those conversations.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually, some events, I know in the Madison area, they will actually advertise as a plus that they have this all available to people.
Absolutely. That's what we do with the Wisconsin Valley Fair, is we advertise that. Unfortunately, the fair will not happen this year, but we advertise that recycling will be available. Please look for the bins. And they are always, we try to marry them with the garbage, because if you're, and I've seen people do this, they go up to a garbage container and they're looking for the recycling bin. They have either an empty soda bottle or an empty aluminum can. So having those things married to each other, the garbage and the recycling, it helps people make those decisions. If you're an event organizer, if you're any of your listeners, reach out to Recycle More Wisconsin. That's an asset of Arrow. We can help you connect with folks in your area to set up event recycling programs.
Let's go to Sharon in Waupun next. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I have two comments and a question. First comment, I've had good luck taking bulky pieces of styrofoam to the UPS store in Fond du Lac. I'm hoping they're using it for when they are sending something in the mail. So that always feels good to not have to throw that in the trash. Secondly, I commend the Cole Center. They have recycle bins, and the one next to it does not say trash. It says landfill, which is a very subtle reminder. But every time you're approaching those bins, you are reminded that there is no such place as away. We don't throw things away. It goes someplace, and it goes into a landfill. And then my third question is, I have two old thermometers with mercury in them. What's the best way to dispose of them?
Hmm.
Excellent. Where did Sharon say she was from?
Waupun.
Waupun. I don't know if there is a household hazardous waste program nearby. That thermometer should go to a household hazardous waste program. And, again, recyclemorewisconsin.org, an asset of Arrow. She can always go there and click on the contact us, and we can connect her with someone in her area that's going to be able to take in those mercury thermometers. And her comment about the Cole Center doing the note on landfill and helping people connect with that, I just think that's the most amazing thing that they did. Because all too often, you know, we set the garbage at the curb, and the garbage fairy takes it away, right?
Yeah.
And so we make it look easy. And the management of solid waste is complicated, and it's expensive. And until we as society actually connect with that, so I encourage people to visit a recycling center, a landfill, a transfer facility. Understand the impact of your waste, because we're at the end of the line. We'll take care of it, but you, all of us as society, we are responsible for making sure that we find ways to reduce waste.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk to Margie in Milwaukee next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a question, two quick ones. How do you recycle shredding? Because you don't want shredding to blow out loose, but I would think we're not supposed to put it in plastic bags. So I've been putting it in grocery bags and then squishing it down and taping it closed. And the second thing is, you mentioned the caps on glassware, which I was glad to hear. What about the caps from milk bottles and soda bottles? My daughter said we're supposed to clip that, the residual piece of plastic that's around the rim, that we're supposed to cut that off before we throw it in recycling. I don't know where she heard that. Can you respond to either of those?
Yeah, thank you, Margie. First off, I would never recommend someone taking a sharp pair of scissors or an X-Acto knife or a kitchen knife and cutting off the top of the soda bottles. We do not want you doing that. That is, it is unsafe and it's unnecessary. Leave the cap on, put it in the recycling bin. Make sure it's empty. You don't want a half bottle of Coca-Cola in the recycling bin. But please, please do not take any extra measures to remove the tops or anything. We don't want people hurting themselves trying to do the right thing by recycling. And you can leave, the caps on your glass containers as well. To your comment or your question, Margie, about shredded paper, you're doing the right thing. You're putting it in a paper container or a paper bag, squishing it down, taping it up, throw it in the recycling bin. That's the best way to do it. Do not, please, anyone put it in plastic bags, because that plastic bag will get wrapped around a piece of equipment and could shut down an entire facility, because that piece of equipment will not be able to function.
Laura from Menominee Falls emailed wondering about recycling fabric material items. She has things like, well, a torn T-shirt or bed sheet or towels or wash rags, mostly cotton. She'd like to recycle rather than dispose, and thought that cotton is often used in recycling items. And a second question, if these items are donated to Goodwill, do they have a system for getting rid of them in a proper way?
Sure. You have to check with your Goodwill. Every Goodwill has a little bit, just like different recycling programs in the state have different capabilities, each one of the Goodwills also have different capabilities. So, you know, call them and ask them, or visit them and ask them. Some Goodwills do take those cotton fabrics and other textiles that are not wearable but are usable to be made into rags, and they actually are made into shop rags. And some of those Goodwills also have outlets to send some of those textiles off to manufacturers who are making things like insulation. But again, it kind of varies at the Goodwills or your St. Vincent de Paul or whatever other thrift store you may be going to. So please don't assume that they will be able to handle it. You'd hate to have to give them the burden of disposing of it in the garbage and paying that cost. So always call first. There isn't a real robust program in Wisconsin, but there are some options.
And finally, Lou in Ashland called but couldn't stay on the line. She said that every bag that enters her house gets reused, and she hasn't used a plastic trash bag in 2 years. She even reuses the plastic that toilet paper comes wrapped in by just making one small slit at the top so that you can use it later for a trash bag.
I love your listeners, Larry. They are wonderful. Absolutely. You know, right now with COVID, of course, many of the stores are not allowing a lot of the reusable bags, so we may end up with a lot of plastic bags if we're going to the grocery store. Reusing them, absolutely. I reuse the plastic grocery bags for everything from, I take them on the dog walk, I won't tell you what I'm picking up, to, you know, lining the bathroom garbage can. So, yeah. Reuse.
I do the same thing. Thank you so much, Melissa, for being with us today. I really appreciate it. I hope we have a chance to visit again. Would you come back and be with us again sometime?
Absolutely. I love talking with your listeners. They're smart. They have good questions. And, you know, if we can work towards making a better recycling system in Wisconsin, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Melissa Johnson is president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, and she also directs the Marathon County Solid Waste Department. So it was great to have her with us. And we're going to kind of continue our conversation about, recycling. We're going to go to the other end and talk about pre-cycling and take a look at materialism and consumer habits and even take a little look through the decades to see how things have changed. That's coming up next as we visit with Nancy Wong here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.